Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So the ceremonial groundbreaking complete, and well, now we watch the Assembly Hall renovation grow, and we'll also continue to watch Kevin Wilson's football program roll and grow as the Cream Crimson game up on the docket sheet Saturday afternoon. Spring sports in high gear, and what a weekend it was last weekend as Hoosier teams across the board met with success. Tonight, our monthly visit behind the scenes, BTS as we call it, with Vice President and Director of Athletics Fred Glass in on our conversation, dropping in for his monthly visit. The Fred Glass honor roll coming up a little bit later, and it's been growing by the hour here on a Tuesday. Employee and department spotlight as well for April. We'll catch you up on everything One Team 24 Sports, including a new home and home in football added to the schedule that we're all excited about. A little bit later, one of Fred's wintertime hires, the new field hockey head coach of the Hoosier women, Amanda Janney, will join us for her first spring update and thoughts about this fall as she enters the IU directory of coaches. A veteran head coach that Fred hired and brought in from Temple University, a woman certainly with passion and unbelievable drive, and having a very successful spring season, a former gold medalist on a member of the USA indoor national team that no one could beat 5 years ago. So Fred has put away his shovel. We'll get out the sticks with AJ and have at it here tonight. This is Sports Talk Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. We're live from Yogi's, along with our producer, Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. On-site producers, Joanne and Mike Glasscott, all of our sponsors, including the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana University. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and Fred, good seeing you. You're just making me look like a bum tonight. Man, you're spiffy, and not that you normally aren't, but, hey, welcome on board. The calluses down from all that shovel work you had last week. What an exciting, exciting venue. I know it just excited so many involved with Indiana University to get the old ceremonial shovel dug in that dirt, and, well, away we go.
Yeah, exactly right, Joe. Thanks again for having me on the show, and thanks for the typically wonderful introduction. You do a great, great job with that. And I am a little more spiffy than I usually am, so I will cop to kind of being a dressed-down guy generally, but had some events today that required the suit and tie. The groundbreaking was awesome,
yeah.
And, you know, I find in this job I'm always kind of looking, let's go to the next thing. You know, okay, we got that set, it started, let's go to the next thing. But one of the great things the university does, I think, is slow down and take account of monumental points in time. And, of course, I'll really look forward to when we cut the ribbon and the thing's done. But celebrating the groundbreaking and bringing Cindy and her family in and the players and Robert Johnson and Tyra Buss spoke so well, and Tom did a great job, and the president, of course. And it was a really neat event, and this is a big deal because we're going to preserve the best home court advantage in college basketball for another 44 years.
Well, any question about that, one of the best home court records in all of major college basketball, only to be enhanced right now. And it just has to be, you know, that we're on the ground floor of this renovation and to see it grow. Yes, it's going to be an inconvenience over the next 16 months or so, but it'll fly by, and when it's done, wow, it's going to be, we'll put it up against any arena.
Yeah, I think it'll be great, and one of the things I really like about it is it's really focused on improving the experience of our fans, whether it's cleaning up those nasty bathrooms, adding bathrooms, better concession stands, the grand new entryway that'll be a big wow, the Jumbotron. So everything's really meant to improve the experience of our fans, and even with the hospitality seating, that'll be kind of premier seating. The revenues from that are going to be funneled back into Assembly Hall to make sure it doesn't get into the kind of disrepair that it is now. So I think it'll be a great project and worth a little inconvenience. And when we come out on the other side, again, we'll have that iconic building and the home court advantage built in for another generation.
Well, adding to the iconic building was a pleasant surprise about 5 days before the groundbreaking when local attorney Ken Nunn, who's been an Indiana University basketball fan since he's moved to Bloomington a number of years ago, and well, in addition to what will be indoors, coming into the arena, that will be known as Cindy Scott Hall, yeah, Assembly Hall,
right.
The new entry plaza named Ken Nunn Champions Plaza. What a generous gift from Ken.
Yeah, he's been just a fabulous fan since early on. I think he's only missed a handful of games in 40 or 50 years or something crazy like that. And he's been a big supporter of this program in particular and stepped up to name the Champions Plaza. And I love that name, Champions Plaza, because mm-hmm. You know, Indiana basketball is synonymous with championships, our five national championships. And a cool thing we're going to do out there is have some statuary celebrating some of the most significant people connected with Indiana University basketball. We'll be rolling that out over time. That'll be another neat amenity. But, yeah, the Ken Nunn Champions Plaza and his generous gift of $2 million will really be a great part of the new Assembly Hall.
Well, it's done nothing but enhance, you know, the new front door, you know, coming in. And, you know, let's face it, front doors make good impressions. And this is going to be, you know, the cream of the cream.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the new front door facing campus will really set off the new Assembly Hall. And I think our fans will enjoy that amenity.
I better get the whole schmo here. Yet it's going to be the Simon Scott Assembly Hall as we come on the air and always produce the McCracken Court as I throw in on the network
right.
radio.
Yeah,
so
good.
I got a mouthful to say, so I got to learn to say and remember that. And that tends to be a problem this day and age with the old man. But we'll get it down. The Simon Scott Assembly Hall, the Branch McCracken Court. And a brand new look, 44 years in the making.
And don't forget Ken Nunn Champions Plaza.
And we might do a little remote from out there.
Excellent.
And we'll throw that in there as well.
Good.
Hey, we had and talk about another fella that's been oh so close to you, the university, Indiana University Athletics, Kurt Zorn, who's been our faculty rep the last 4 years, Fred. And has been around for, well, I got to know him 30 years ago, and he may have been here a little bit longer. But Kurt was part of the National Football Foundation faculty salute, and that was out at the BART the other night before the Rutgers game. Talk a little about that and his contributions over the decades, and what a nice honor to be recognized for excellence in promoting the scholar-athlete that has been so very much a focus of our makeup.
Yeah, Joe, it was a great event. I'd really like to thank the National Football Foundation and their partners, Fidelity Investments, for recognizing Kurt Zorn as one of the leading faculty athletics representatives in the country in part because of Indiana University helping produce Mark Murphy, who is one of the scholar-athletes that the National Football Foundation recognized. They only recognized about 10 or so of those folks. And as you know, Mark Murphy, great safety on the football team, great football pedigree. His dad played for my beloved Green Bay Packers. And he has like a 3.85 GPA in informatics. So it's like a crazy accomplishment in a crazy smart area. But the fact that he received that award led the National Football Foundation to recognize Kurt, both because of his extraordinary contributions and also as a representative of all the people and tutors and academic advisors and so forth that go into helping produce kids like Mark Murphy, if there is such a thing. He's a pretty unique guy.
Yeah, sure is.
Kurt over at SPIA, he's out of the provost's office. He's our faculty athletics representative and very supportive, but certainly no pushover. He challenges us in very appropriate ways, but we keep him very engaged, and I think it's been a really good relationship.
Well, just getting started behind the scenes with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass. Fun at the old ball yard out at Memorial Stadium on what will be a beautiful Saturday to not wind up the spring, But we'll have the annual Cream Crimson game, season number 5, well enhanced by Coach Kevin Wilson and his staff. Plus, Fred will be announcing a new home-and-home series with a college football tradition power. And we'll do all of that, have more. My golly, we got the department in the spotlight, employee in the spotlight, and you name the sport, and Indiana University won it when they competed last weekend. All of that and more, 16 after the hour. You're listening to Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, along with our producer, Jim Ritter, tonight. Behind the Scenes, Vice President, Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, joining us. You heard our spot, the IU Athletics and the IU Interdepartment Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, sponsoring part of Fred's visit with us, his monthly visit here to Yogi's tonight, and we were talking a little about the soccer game. That's next Tuesday, but tickets for that annual matchup with Todd's crew and the Mexican youth national team out at the pitch at Armstrong Stadium, 7:30. So you can purchase tickets online by just going to iuhoosiers.com. $10 for adults, $5 for IU students and youth ages 2 through 18. They were up, had their little Shindig National Sports Festival up in a great IU alumni town of Fort Wayne and beat Notre Dame in overtime, Fred. But just so many things to get to, but let's start with football. And the fun activities going to start, what, about high noon on Saturday, huh?
Yeah, exactly right. And I hope your weather forecast is accurate.
It's in the books.
We should be good with a nice day. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of stuff for the kids, bumper cars and so forth, tents with food and beverage. The Old Oaken Bucket, which is resident in Bloomington, Indiana, will be there. And it'll be a lot of fun at the game and get to see the guys. And I think our fans will really enjoy seeing our team. I think we're bigger, faster, stronger, deeper. Those are all good things. Get Nate back a little bit and look forward to the start of the season in the fall, but the spring game here on Saturday.
Well, by the way, number 6 won't be with us, but we want to wish the best. His pro day, and we're talking about Tevin Coleman, who is cinched to be a first-round draft pick, is coming up tomorrow at Mellencamp, and all 32 pro teams are going to be here. So we certainly wish that young man the very best.
Yeah, what a great, great young man.
They don't come down the pike that often. We've had some good ones, but, you know,
yeah,
decades have lapsed in between.
Yeah, he's right up there, and just what a great young man he is, and his attention to academics, and the way he handled his season with poise and grace, even under adverse circumstances. He'll go down in our annals as one of the best.
You know, it's kind of hot off the press. It was released around 5 o'clock, but we have some football news to report. And you have steadily, over the last 3-4 years, continued to build, if you will, Fred, the future schedules. The future non-conference schedules were basically the way it is right now, with two divisions locked pretty much into our Big Ten schedule. But you have an ACC power coming to B-Town, huh?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with this. And you know, I was kind of laughing off air with you that we've been scheduling so much. I was kind of confused on which one we were talking about. But, of course, we rolled out today the home-and-home with Virginia. Virginia is widely recognized as one of the public Ivies, one of the great public institutions of higher learning in the country. And we think we're in that company as well. And so as often as we can, we'd like to schedule our non-conference repertoire universities at that level, and certainly Virginia fits the bill, and we'll be looking forward to hosting them in 18, and then I think we travel there first in 17. So we'll go to Charlottesville in 17, and they'll come here in 18. Early game September 9th in 17, and September 8th in 18. As you know, Joe, our general approach to scheduling is that we want to try to have 7 home games. We've actually increased our expenditures to make that happen. And we won't hit that every single year, but that's really what we push for. And then in our current 4 non-conference games, we want to play 1 BCS quality, if you will, or what they're calling Power 5 now, one of the major 5 conferences or teams of that caliber, and then fill in with other strong FBS programs. And the Big Ten is agreed not to schedule FCS or the traditional D1 or 2A teams, which is too bad that we won't play the Indiana States of the world anymore. Sure. But that's just another part of the scheduling. And then we'll go to three non-conference games in 19, which will be great that we'll see more Big Ten teams. Complicates the non-conference schedule a little bit in terms of getting to that magic number of seven.
And, you know, you talk about the additional teams that you brought in. I think since our March visit, you added Cincinnati, didn't you, for future years down the road?
We did. And Cincinnati, while not from an exact traditional Power Five conference, you know, sort of counts in the Big Ten's view because of their traditional strength and being the successor of the old Big East Conference. UConn similarly situated. I think those are recognizable names our fans will like to see, and we're trying to put a slate together that makes people want to come out to Memorial Stadium.
And by the way, Indiana students, be sure to click it for ticket and buy your season tickets today by clicking when you register for classes. It goes on your bursar bill, so just FYI there. Well, as we mentioned last weekend, my golly, you named the sport, and the cream and the crimson came through. Let's start with baseball. That was very, very important. That the Rutgers Scarlet Knights go back to Piscataway with three losses, and the Hoosiers did a little bit of everything well, pitching, hitting, and defense.
Yeah, that was nice. I mean, after a really, really powerful non-conference slate, we got out of the gates a little slow in the Big Ten, and so we wanted to make up ground, and boy, to sweep Rutgers at home was really a great tonic, and the guys played well in all phases of the game. Hopefully we're moving on to bigger and better things.
You know, outside of all of our success, I was kind of waiting for awards day, which normally is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all of our sports across the board, and mentioning baseball, and here's his name again, a young man just keeps piling up these Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors, and we're talking about outfielder Logan Sowers, who earned his third. He's tied right now with 22 RBI. Had one of his most important on Friday when he helped the Hoosiers begin that sweep last weekend. But the young man is just one of many that Chris and they're in action tonight as we speak over at Indiana State. Come back to the BART. You know, and we kind of touched on this. You kind of not take it for granted, but the place hasn't even been built a little over 2 years. Tomorrow night, we beat Evansville. That'll be our 50th win at the BART.
Yeah, how about that? I don't know what the winning percentage is there, but it's some ridiculous number. So it's good to win at home and play 500 on the road and win yourself a pennant.
Hey, and two, you being an Indianapolis native like me, and we always, in our free time growing up as kids, went out to either West 16th Street or where it is located over on Maryland now, Victory Field. And how about the baseball Hoosiers? It's been a long time in coming, but they're going to play Notre Dame, next week?
Yeah, and you know, Joe, I may or may not have said this to you before, but I love beating Notre Dame. And our men's soccer team.
Once or twice you've mentioned that.
Our men's soccer team took care of Notre Dame.
That's kind of number two on your list. There's another school there, but we won't go there yet.
Yeah, they share one color in common. But, yeah, it's going to be fun at Victory Field. Our baseball team is going to play Notre Dame. And I'll give our fans a chance to go there and see IU, and we're hoping for good things and good weather on Tuesday.
Well, I tell you, we've got another Carmel, Indiana native who was instrumental in the Michelle Gardner's sweep on the softball field. They were out in University Park last weekend. Michelle Huber, the Big Ten co-player of the week, and she only hit 750 last week. But Indiana accomplishing something that it hadn't been able to do in nearly 3 years. And I looked at the standings today, and Indiana is seventh right now in the Big Ten, moving upward. That's the good news. The bad news, they got to go to Michigan this weekend, who perennially is one of the tough powers, but at least they're going in with a little confidence. And this young lady has had an outstanding softball career, Michelle Huber.
Yeah, it's cool to see both the softballers and the baseballers get out the brooms in the same weekend and take a little momentum into the next part of the season. You know, we're going to go up there and play Michigan, but that's why you're in the Big Ten, to play those kind of teams, and we're playing kind of with the house money, so we'll see what happens up there.
Yeah, and we will. And it's been interesting, and it's so neat to see the student-athletes, the scholar-athletes progress through their athletic careers. And I've watched this young lady progress since she's been a freshman for Lynn Loring, and that's Katie Klysik. And she was named today the co-Big Ten Player of the Week. And just like Chris Lemonis's Hoosiers, Lynn Loring's crew had to move up through the league, They made up about five spots, beating Maryland, beating Rutgers 6-1, 6-1, and Katie Kleisig getting the job done. She was unbeaten in singles and doubles.
She's awesome, and a member of that four-member senior class that's done so much for Indiana women's tennis, and it's bittersweet to watch them kind of taking their final circuit around because they're a great class, and we'll miss them, and Katie among them for sure.
Well, and Seniors Day, by the way, that will be celebrated. Fred just mentioned that senior class, what it's meant to the dean of Indiana coaches, Lynn Loring. It's coming up Sunday out on the varsity courts against Minnesota. Well, you mentioned Michigan. One thing we beat them in was, and they were seventh ranked in the country, and that was rowing. As Steve, you know, it's not been the, well, you know, it's been kind of crappy weather-wise late, you know, March into early April. They go up to Ann Arbor where you think the weather's rotten, and what do? They post wins over both Michigan and Michigan State, and the Wolverines seventh ranked in the country.
Yeah, the rowing program is such a great success story, and Steve's doing a great, great job with that crew, literally and figuratively. And we'd never beaten Michigan before, so they got a taste of the whip for the first time from the Hoosiers. We like doing that.
We like to do that, and often. And by the way, the first Varsity 8 boat of the week in the Big Ten, and Kaylee Kickert, along with Alice Wright, Meredith Dickensheets, who's been on this show before they went into the NCAA last year. Madison Tresser, along with Alexandra Morrison, Emily Barber, Alexandra Eaton, Rebecca Bauer, Brower, and Aja Zero, topping the first Varsity 8. This is just fun just to go down and just show you the scope of what is happening this spring. How about Barry King's water polo? You know, they had lost one CWPA game. They were in a position to, well, do a little sweeping. They took the brooms with them, went out to Princeton, came home with four victories.
Yeah, they sure did. Ranked in the top 20, which seems where they are almost all the time, but beat a couple powers, including Princeton, number 10 in the country, Harvard, 20th in the country, and did all they could do, winning 4 out of 4.
Jeremy Wertzman, we talked about Lynn's program, and the men came back with a split. Ohio State is unbeaten in the Big Ten this spring on the men's side, but the Hoosiers right now, Fred, are safely entrenched in fifth place, and they're having a nice year. And it's always tough for a new coach to come in and to get to know his players, but Jeremy Wertzman certainly has done that. A 15-9 record going into the weekend for the men. They'll be home against PU, Michigan, and Michigan State.
Well, much like your next guest, AJ, with field hockey, Jeremy's hit the ground running and just really turned around the whole field of that program. Those guys moved up 30 positions in the national ranking since he started. He's the real deal, and just fits in really well with our faculty, with our other head coaches.
Looking forward, and they're having an unbeaten spring. And, boy, the golfers caught fire. Mike's had his crew out on the champ course over the weekend, and they really put together a nice final round, finished third, and they'll be getting ready to take that momentum with them into the Big Tens, along with Clint Wallman's ladies a little bit later in the spring that we'll touch on. Well, before we leave here to close out Fred's show, BTS here this month of April. Time for our department in the spotlight and our employee in the spotlight.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for the opportunity to do this, and really gives us a chance to identify some of the unsung heroes. And I'd like to focus on marketing today. And people think, you know, well, what's marketing? But it's so much more than that, especially in this day and age of Big Ten Network and big productions and all that stuff. These guys go above and beyond to make almost every competition we have an experience. The well-known ones and the not-such-well-known ones. And Mark Skirvin, who a lot of people know from his days, the Alumni Association and that family's involved with IU Athletics, yep, has been tremendous. He leads that department, does a great, great job. Andrew Rosner is in there, Laura Canese, Dana Mayeron, who's our director of fan experience. I love that we have a single person who is really focused in on making sure we have a fantastic fan experience. Dana does a great job. Former student athlete, by the way, water polo. Jonathan Benedek does a great job, has done some really amazing things with men's soccer and a variety of other things. So they're a hale and hearty crew. They do a fabulous job, and any of those could be my employee spot in the spotlight, but it's not any of those. It's Neely Slauson. Neely is everywhere all the time, doing a bunch of great things on the event side. But the reason I really highlighted her this time is she took an idea of better coordinating our community service effort through our student athletes and ran with it and put together the most awesome presentation on how we could take that to a whole new level. And it was just pretty cool that she was sort of asked to do, an inch, and she ended up doing 20 miles on her own, and I think will dramatically improve our delivery of community services in Bloomington, Monroe County, and the surrounding areas. So she's a hero not only for the athletic department, but I think for the whole community.
You know, it's so great to see the up-and-coming kids that are now early on in their professions take it and run with it. And, we're so much geared into this high-tech, social society type thing where it's so vital anymore that it's just great to have those kind of young people with the drive and determination, and we salute Neely for that. Hey, I'll tell you, it's been a great show, one of our newsier BTS shows of the
year. You know how to go through an agenda, baby. We had a lot to talk about.
We had
it's
nothing. I just lead you in, and it's the comments that we're looking for, and I know you you love to talk about the kids that make the headlines, and we had a ton of Big Ten athletes of the week this week, and looking forward to between now and the end of the school year. Again, when do festivities start out at the stadium Saturday?
They'll be noon. Come out. It's going to be fun. You won't regret it. It's a nice casual way to really get to know the players and fellow Hoosier fans, so please come on out on Saturday.
And since the old Oaken Bucket has taken up permanent residence as a Monroe County resident, IU and Bloomington resident, come on out and have your picture taken. If you've not done so, we've had it in here a couple of times. It's been moved around the state like the Stanley Cup. But we're planning on keeping it here, so come on out Saturday. It's going to be a great weather day, and we'll see you. Fred, as always, good talking to you, breaking bread. Enjoy your stay here at Yogi's, and have a great week, and we'll see you in May, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, as always.
All right, Fred Glass joining us behind the scenes, Vice President Director of Athletics, the newest member to the Hoosier Coaches Directory, guiding those field hockey Hoosiers on into next season. My golly, it's been a great spring to date. Amanda Janney, former longtime head coach of the Temple Owls, will join us next. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, as we continue along. Our thanks to Fred Glass, Vice President Director of Athletics at Indiana U, BTS. The Little Reds baseball coming up a little bit later tonight, as the Reds will try to end a two-game losing streak against the Cubs. The pregame hopping on the airwaves tonight at 8 o'clock, along with our producer, Jim Ritter, and our co-producers on site here at Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana, Joanna, and Mike Lascott. We do have an Amanda next to me, Amanda Janney, better known as AJ. And AJ is the new field hockey head coach that Fred hired and brought in back in February. But first of all, just it was nice meeting you, and I know you're excited, and my golly, you know, there is so much transition to worry about when you take a new job, but boy, things have really come into vogue here, haven't they?
Yes, thank you for having me on tonight.
This is going to be the first of many visits here at Yogi's, okay?
That sounds great. It's been a great 2 months so far. That everyone was so welcoming when I got here in February, and the team has just been doing great so far.
Well, I tell you what, you've done and won at Temple. You were there over 10 years. But tell us a little about your background, where you're from, and how you got into coaching. You went to Wake Forest. You're a gold medal winner on the indoor Team USA crew, and you do coaching out on the East Coast in Philly. You got a lot on your plate.
That's right. I coached at Temple for 10 years before I took the job at Indiana, and before that, I was an assistant at UPenn in Philadelphia, and then also an assistant at James Madison. And I also coached high school back in Texas, where I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. So I've been a high school coach, an assistant coach, and worked my way up to be a head coach. So I kind of feel I kind of know all the different roles, and it's nice being a head coach now that when I go out in recruiting, I know what it's like to be a high school coach. And the best ways to get those high school players to come to my college.
Tell us a little about, and you're currently, from what I gather, serving as the head coach of the United States Field Hockey Association Pennsylvania High Performance Team in Philly. And all you did last summer was win a national championship. You still doing that? And how'd you get involved with that?
I am. Last summer went great. We're the high performance team, the Pennsylvania team. I used to work actually with New Jersey as an assistant. So last year I was able to be the head coach for Pennsylvania, and one of our players when I went to the tournament was actually Sydney Supica, who's one of our players here. So it was a college all-star team, and Sydney helped us win the gold medal last summer in Lancaster. And then this year I get to be the assistant on the Midwest team. So now that I'm out in the Midwest, I'm going to help our Midwest high performance and try to get as many Indiana players to try out for that team and start the Olympic development process with them.
Amanda Janney, better known as AJ, and we'll get to calling her that. You prefer that, don't you?
Yep, that's what most of the players and recruits call me.
We'll go with AJ. You said you were raised out in Texas. Where from? What part of Texas were you raised?
North Texas. Trinity Valley School is my high school, and I was so fortunate. I had a high school coach from the East Coast who came down right when I started playing and just really helped me fall in love with field hockey and helped me with the recruiting process so I could go to Wake Forest.
So, yeah, I was going to say you were at Wake Forest, and not only did you score goals, you set up your teammates. But talk about who was your early mentor? Who got you involved in the coaching aspect after you did so well in your undergraduate career, AJ, at Wake Forest?
Yeah, I've been really blessed with some amazing coaches in my time, from my club soccer coach, my high school field hockey coach, and then my Wake Forest coach, Jen Averill, was just outstanding. And I was so lucky to play for her for 4 years. She took the program on to win 3 national championships at Wake, so I'm really honored to be a part of the Wake Forest field hockey alumni group. And I've learned so much from Jen Averill and the way that she coaches and the way that she's passionate about playing and mentoring her athletes. I've taken a lot of those life lessons that Jen taught us at Wake Forest and tried to become the best coach by following in her footsteps.
You know, you had great success at Temple, and you were out there 10 years, but you also had the Owls in the postseason for every year that you coached them. And, you know, I noticed one important little tidbit in your resume, and that was the national RPI. You were ranked 11th, which tells me that you had a doggone tough schedule, and not only in the A-10, but teams you brought into Philly.
Correct. As a head coach, scheduling is really important, and I did my best to schedule some tough teams and then also make sure within conference that in the A-10 conference we did the best as possible, and then we actually switched to the Big East Conference, which made a big difference, and we were competing against the who turned out to be the national champions, UConn. So that was great competition to get us ready for the postseason, and every year we're able to take our team to postseason and do our best. And the fact that we finished 11th in the nation last year was a huge accomplishment for our program, and it took those 10 years to build up that program. But one big thing that I really thought about is moving to the Big Ten Conference. I knew this was a better conference. All the teams we're playing are going to help our RPI, and we're going to be in a much better situation to make the NCAA tournament and really win games in the postseason.
I was going to ask you about what enticed you to move after what was a decade of excellence for the Temple Owls. You talk a little about the A-10 or the Big East. You played in the ACC. What were you hearing about, and how have you seen from the outside before you got into the inside, what were you hearing about Indiana and the Big Ten in the sport?
Well, Indiana field hockey is only 15 years old.
Yeah.
It's somewhat of a newer program, and they've been building and building, and they've already made the NCAA tournament twice, so I know they have some great history and some amazing alumni from Indiana, that we have a former Olympian in Kayla Bayshore, and then also a Rhodes Scholar winner, so I know that they really excel in their academics and on the field. And then just looking at the Big Ten Conference, it's the best field hockey conference in the nation. I know the teams we compete against are going to always be in the top 10, top 20, and it's going to give us the competition we need to get ourselves in the top 20.
AJ, talk to me a little about, I know you welcome recruiting. That's one of your strong suits. But how challenging is it now as we progress through the 20s in this century, and since you played it in high school and college and coached it, how challenging is it to develop talent at the level that now you're moving, I'm not going to say upward, but you're moving into another atmosphere, so to speak, new venue?
Yes, recruiting is a difficult challenge sometimes, but again, a big plus to me coming to Indiana were the facilities and the amazing support that we get here within the Big Ten and at Indiana University. So I know the things that the support that we have at Indiana, that's going to be a big thing that attracts some of our top recruits. And then in terms of developing talent, I really take a lot of pride in being able to teach and coach and really mentor our young ladies, that they come to my program as freshmen that are great high school players, but they leave as seniors that are really developed, really matured, so smart about the game of field hockey. And I really feel that the development process that happens in the 4 years is something that I really take pride in. So I know within my recruiting, I feel very confident that the players are going to graduate with a lot of great life lessons, a lot of great field hockey lessons. And I really think starting new here at Indiana is a great challenge for me, and I know our players are going to really excel here.
You know, I was looking at the roster, at least the spring roster, and where you come to us from, and that is Philadelphia and Temple University. That's a high school hotbed of the entire state of Pennsylvania, and I noticed you got five Pennsylvania kids on your roster.
Absolutely. That Pennsylvania, New Jersey right now is the hot location for American field hockey players, and I continue to plan on recruiting from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and I've already gotten some great recruits looking at us and visiting the university. I think we'll continue to go after some very strong internationals, that we have some great players on the team right now from Spain. We have it incoming from Germany, and we also have a very talented player from Canada. So I think a good balance of both some great East Coast players, some outstanding athletic Midwest players, and then some talented international players will be the good mix to make us win games.
Now, Barry King's got a jump on you on those Canadian players. He's had a share of them on that water polo team of his. But going north of the border, that's interesting that you bring up the international flavor. Big sport. It's become very popular, has it not?
It is. Field hockey is the second most popular sport in the world behind soccer. And a lot of people play it in Europe and Canada and Australia. It's a very popular sport, and it's fun to watch the Olympics. The Pan Ams are coming up here in June in Canada. And there's a lot of great talent abroad, so we'll continue to try to find the best players to come to Indiana and help us improve our program.
Amanda Janney joining us, AJ, the new field hockey head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, and as we mentioned, a very successful spring to date. But before that, you came in, I think, in early February, and there was a lot going on and what have you. You told me a little about the transition, but you had to put a staff together, and you really completed that. But talk about your staff with some IU flavor, but some kids that have been around the block and are Big Ten, former Big Ten players.
Yes, very proud of my staff that I was able to put together. I think being a head coach, our success is based upon a lot of things, and the assistant coach contributions are a huge part of any head coach's success. So I was able to find three talented young women who are Big Ten alumni. So we were able to bring in Kelly Twerlinger, who is the assistant coach at Ohio State for a while. She also played there and has the Big Ten playing experience. And then we also found Ayla Hallis, who is a Penn State alumni, was a tremendous goalkeeper there with a lot of maturity and knowledge of the goalkeeping specialty. And then also we were able to keep on Maggie Olson, who Maggie graduated, was a fantastic player here in Bloomington. She graduated in the winter, and she's around, and just someone special that we want to keep a part of the program and continue to utilize our amazing alumni, because she brings a lot of special talents to our team.
Well, I don't care if it's ice hockey or soccer or field hockey. The goalie is an integral part to the success. Obviously, defensively, we had Maggie on many times. My memory slips my mind right now. Was Maggie from Pennsylvania? I think she's from Springfield, wasn't she, PA?
Correct. Yep. She was she was a very special story, that she was a walk-on coming to Indiana and just worked her butt off and really did a great job to earn the starting position, and has great character and really that great work ethic that I wanted part of our program.
I really got excited when I looked down and saw Audra Heilman's name, and here's another young lady that we have, she's been feeded many times within the league. She's been here at Yogi's many times, as has Maggie through their IU careers. I got real excited, AJ, when I looked down and saw her on the roster, that Easton PA senior. But tell me her role right now, because I know she's graduating next month, isn't she?
Correct. So Audra, unfortunately for me, great for her, she had four amazing years here, but she's done with her eligibility. So Unfortunately, she can't play in any fall games, but she is still working on her undergraduate degree, so she will be one of our student assistant coaches in the fall. And again, just like Maggie, just a special player who has great character, great work ethic, and we wanted to keep part of our program. So right now she's playing the coach's role, and she's helping us out at practices in that coaching role, and has been doing a fantastic job for us.
I never saw you play collegiately, but there was a pretty good ratio between your goals scored and your assists, and Audra Heilman comes in the mention right here because as her career, not only she became a marked woman at offense, but she took a lot more pride the last year, year and a half of setting up the others, which tells me that's your total player right there.
She is. Just a special player who's unselfish and wants to dish out an assist just as much as she wants to score goals. So a true competitor, and again, just a great mentor for our other athletes.
Well, tell me about your style and how you attack things and how it maybe conforms into what you implemented when you grabbed hold of the reins back in February.
Sure. I think just looking at our team right now, I want to produce an aggressive attack that we're going to score a lot of goals and we're going to take some high risks. And we've already seen that strategy work out a little bit, that we were playing a spring game against Ohio State. We happened to be down 2 goals, and the second we scored a goal, we had some momentum. I pulled the goalie, which is a pretty risky thing to do, to pull the goalie and put on an extra field player. But at the time, I thought it was a good risk, and the team really stepped into the challenge. We scored another quick goal, put the goalie back in, and then one of our captains, Kate Barber, actually scored a last-second goal to win the game 4-2 against Ohio State last weekend. So I like to play kind of high-risk, high-reward in terms of really pushing the limits and challenging our players and making sure that we're trying to score as many goals as possible so we make it an exciting game.
We're going to have you in, you know, in August before the season starts, when we come out of our summer hiatus from Yogi's, AJ. And it was interesting, we talk about the influx of Pennsylvania women that are on your roster, and one comes to note, Nicole Volgraf, she was in on the selection committee, wasn't she, when she, and she had followed your career, didn't she, at Temple for years?
She did. Her and her family are very familiar with the Philadelphia college field hockey scene, and apparently they knew a lot about Temple field hockey and our success there, and she knew that we were able to build a great program. And Nicole and Malia were two of the student athletes that the athletic department had on our hiring committee, and it was really great at the time when I was being hired to meet some student athletes and really see the passion and the drive that these players have, that they competitive athletes who want to win and are willing to do anything to get there. So Nicole's been a great leader for our team. She was recently voted captain, and she's been just a really talented player to work with, that she scored 4 goals this weekend for us in our tournament at Louisville. And she's just a great example of a student athlete who takes care of things off the field with great academics, community service. She's our SAC president, which is a really important role at the university. And then on the field, she's just a hard worker who will do anything to score a goal for the team.
Yeah, she is well-wired, no question about it. Were you, I kind of forget how many recruit scholarships you had. Were you able to do, we mentioned recruiting being one of your strong points, were you able to get out and talk a little IU field hockey?
Yes, absolutely. We've had a number of recruits on campus since I've gotten the job, and we've actually had, I believe, 4 verbal commitments since I've been here, and we'll be signing some players this upcoming week on National Letter of Intent Signing Day that happens this Wednesday, tomorrow, so we'll hopefully make that announcement soon this week, and we're building a great team for the future, and we're excited about all the recruits who have already visited Bloomington.
Well, I'm glad to hear National Signing Day taking precedent over another signing date, and that's the IRS. It is tax day, and don't forget that, all of America and what have you. Hey, it's great been talking to you and getting to know you a little bit, AJ, and we wish you nothing but the success, and always a home here at Yogi's, and come in and see us. I got to ask you one more question before we leave. You get through the spring. What needs to be, what's on your game plan sheet developing the team as the regular season gets ready in August? What needs to be done?
Well, there's a lot to do this summer. Even though it's our off season, we're all on the road recruiting every weekend. Like we mentioned before, I'm part of the high performance program, so I'll be out coaching, and hopefully a lot of our players will be involved in that. For the athletes, they're on their own this summer, that they're responsible for working out on their own and trying to play as much field hockey as possible. And then when we get back to work in August, we'll be back on Tuesday, August 11th, ready for 2 weeks of preseason practices. And we have a lot to do, but there's a great base that the team is really full of, a very talented group of young women. And I know when we get back in the fall, we're going to have a great fall season.
Well, you've done a lot in 2 months, and we welcome you to Bloomington, Indiana University, and as I say, always a home here at Yogi's. Amanda Janney, the new women's field hockey coach of the Hoosiers, and we'll talk to you in the late summer. Have a great rest of the spring and summer.
Thank you very much.
AJ joining us, and when we come back, we'll close out things. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Back, everyone. Final time tonight. Update from Terre Haute, Indiana State, leading the Hoosiers of Chris Lemonis 3-1. Don't forget, tomorrow night out at the BART 605, it will be the Evansville Purple Aces and Indiana going after its 50th victory. Want to thank Fred Glass, and it was great talking field hockey with Amanda Chaney. Don't forget, our shortstop employee of the week is Wayne Vargas. Our producer tonight has been Jim Ritter. Reds and Cubs on the airwaves at 8 in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Until next Tuesday, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. For all of our sponsors and our producers, Jim Ritter, Joanna and Mike Lascott, Fred Glass, Amanda Janney, Joe Smith, have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday night, live from Yogi's. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Cubs at 8 o'clock with the Reds. See ya. Good night, everyone.